You're listening to Rise Up Radio here on WBAI 99.5 FM. I'm your host today, Nell Geiser. You can always check out archived versions of our show at www.riseupradio.org. Well, babies in Harlem and Washington Heights are being born bigger after a recent EPA phase-out of certain household pesticides. The Columbia Center for Children's Environmental Health released a study Monday documenting an inverse correlation between the level of absorption of two common pesticides, diazinon and chlorpyrifos, with the weight and length of babies at birth. The babies in the study with the highest levels of exposure were born an average of 6.6 ounces lighter and one-third of an inch shorter than babies who were not exposed to the chemicals. To find out more about the implications of these findings for babies and for policy, we're joined by Dr. Robin Wyatt, lead author of the study and assistant professor at the Mailman School of Public Health at Columbia. Dr. Wyatt, can you start by describing for the layperson the methods you use to correlate rising birth weight with decreasing presence of these chemicals in umbilical cord blood?
Okay. I mean, there are really two parts to that question. One is the part on exposure, and then the other part is the effects on fetal growth. So what we did in this study is we measured the levels of these insecticides in the baby's blood at birth, and we in a group of 314 babies, African American and Dominican, and we gathered information from the mothers, questionnaire information about their pesticide use from the mothers, as well as a number of confounders, you know, potential confounders that we used in our models to control for other things that might be modulating birth weight. And we looked first in the total group, and we found that those that had the highest exposure levels to these insecticides, that were at the 26% higher exposure levels, had about a 200-gram difference in birth weight compared to infants that had non-detectable levels of the insecticides. We then looked at infants born before and after the federal ban and found that the insecticide levels went down significantly in the blood over time. You know, the babies that were born after the ban had highly significantly lower levels, particularly of chlorpyrifos, and there was only one baby left at this high exposure level, and we didn't see any effects anymore on the fetal growth.
Can you briefly explain what diazinon and chlorpyrifos are and why the EPA decided to phase them out of household pesticides?
Yep, they're two insecticides. Prior to the ban, they were two of the most widely used insecticides for residential pest control, both in the home and around the home. In the United States, 50% of chlorpyrifos use and 75% of diazinon use was estimated to be used in residences prior to the ban. In this population, they were being used principally for control of in-home cockroach levels. EPA decided to ban them starting in 2000 because they had been required by a law that was passed in 1996 called the Food Quality Protection Act for the first time to look at aggregate exposures to these insecticides as part of the regulation, and specifically to look at exposures and risks to children. And when they did that, they found that the exposures that they were estimating a child received from treatment in the home were, you know, estimated to be a lot higher than what they considered an acceptable level. And so they worked with the manufacturers and got an agreement to phase them out from all residential uses.
You work with the Columbia Center for Children's Environmental Health.
That's correct.
Which has been tracking the effects of various pollutants on mothers and children in Upper Manhattan. Can you talk about why you've done this specific focus on Black and Dominican communities in New York, and whether you would call this a case of environmental inequality?
Well, let's see. I'll start. The reason that we started, let me start back by the reason we started looking at pesticides specifically was because there was a study done in 1997 that indicated that the greatest use of insecticides in New York State, of some of these insecticides, occurred not in the agricultural communities, but in the boroughs of Manhattan and Brooklyn. So that was a real wake-up call that all of a sudden people thought, wow, this is not necessarily just an agricultural issue. This can really be an urban problem. So that was why we started doing the study in the first place. The reason that, the cohort we've been following is a northern Manhattan and cohort from northern Manhattan and the South Bronx, and those are the two largest ethnic groups in the area. So we started looking, you know, specifically in those two largest ethnic groups, and there isn't a lot of comparative data to say whether this is, you know, specifically a problem, an environmental justice issue, I think is what you're getting at.
Yes.
But our data indicates that, in fact, both the degree of pests you have in the home and also pesticide uses related to degree of housing quality, and also that's something that was also just found out in another study by the New York State Attorney General's Office. So, it certainly is an issue among poor housing, poor low-income people. Now, that isn't to say that these pesticides are not being used in other parts of New York City. I think they are.
That was Dr. Robin Wyatt, the Columbia Center for Studying Children's Environmental Health, who was speaking with us on the phone about this study that she was the lead author of, released on Monday, looking at the inverse correlation between pesticide presence and the weight and length of babies being born. So after this EPA phase-out of harmful toxic chemicals in household pesticides, babies are being born bigger and healthier in Harlem and Washington Heights. It's good news.
Of life's longing for itself, they come through you, but they are not from you, and though they are with you, they belong not to you.